Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. You know, Jesus is pretty remarkable. You know what he did when he first went around? He walked around and said, "You, you, and you, come with me." You know, we don't get a lot of story around the background that Jesus might have with you, you, or you, come with me. People like to discuss that Jesus knew them before. And so he already knew who he's going to pick them up. But no, we just know that he was walking down, and they all happened to be relatively close around there. I want you, and I want you, and I want you. Later on, I want you, and so forth. Now I want you. You know, and then so he had 12 apostles around him. And then they walked along. And one of the things that they did, what Jesus did, was stand outside and see somebody, laid hands on them, and healed them. Now this spreads pretty quickly, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, wherever Jesus goes, there's a whole bunch of people. You know, one time he fed the masses and what was it, 5,000? And then that you have to add women and children to that 5,000. Another time there were 3,000 or something, somewhere in the thousands of people, and then you have to add the women and children, because in those types of days they didn't add those people in these numbers, except in an afterthought of and women and children. So the women and children didn't get included in numbers. The important things in those days was this number of the men. So, but anyway, so the people came running to him because they heard he will heal them or could heal them. And people like this kind of stuff. They don't like to feel pain and suffering and so forth, so they like to come over and maybe not feel this pain anymore. And they heard this man over here can do things like that. And sure enough, this is what Jesus did. He laid hands on people and they got healed. The Bible doesn't really explain how long he spent, but what did the Bible say? It said he healed all that came to him. Now sometimes, in one place it says they were too many healed in his hometown. Meaning some got healed, but not too many, because they had lack of faith. You know, he's a carpenter's son. But here's Jesus. And he can't heal. And yes, he can heal. But faith is an important part of the situation here. You know, you come to Jesus through faith. And if you're not going to have faith that he's the Son of God, you just sort of think he's the son of a carpenter, then, you know, you may not get healed. However, it's really bizarre out there in the world. This is one thing that's pretty neat about truth and facts, because you got it. Once it's a done deal. 2,000 years have come by, and we have Christians all over the place doing all kinds of things. We have the rest of the world all over the place doing all kinds of things. And so, no matter how good and neat you make your doctrine, there are some things that just defy your doctrine. You cannot reject the things that defy your doctrine. Doctrines are of man. Sometimes you use verses for your doctrine. You base it on a verse. Sometimes it's pretty accurately done so, and so some doctrines are right on. But generally speaking, doctrines are what you think of something, and you made it into a law. It's sort of a doctrine is sort of like a mini Bible that you made, that you wrote, that you inspired, not the Bible. The Bible was inspired by God, but you then read the Bible, and then you created doctrines. This is why one of the situations which is condemned is the phrase, doctrines of men. So, you've got to understand 2,000 years have gone by. And this world's pretty big. We got 630 million some people on this earth. And from Jesus' day to today, a whole bunch of people died. And you can find people that happily do the math. We got people that does the math. At least if we went back to the 1980s or something, it was said that everybody that was living today equals the number of people of everybody that ever died on Earth. Well, now, because that was some 20-some years ago, chances are pretty good that there's more people living today than has ever died on Earth. And so, you have the past. One thing that's pretty good about the past is it is a done deal. And somehow or another, you've got to figure out done deals are done. All you could do with done deals is try to figure out for sure what happened. And we have maybe this person saying this happened, this other person says that happened, and another one over here saying the other thing happened. Now you're in the dilemma. This guy's pretty credible, but my God, look at this other guy over here. He's awfully credible too. You hear this guy, he's got so many facts typed up against any of his books, you know, he can refer to a million different other places of where he got his stuff. And this other guy's a scientist and all this. I mean, you got a world of really significantly intelligent scholars telling you what the fact is. Now you've got to decide who's right. Generally, everybody's got some pretty good part of being right. Every denomination got a good, pretty good aspect going for them, but we hate that other denomination. We love ours. We have to be the rightest one, and they have to be really wrong, or whatever right they are doesn't matter because they're wronger than us or something. And so we don't want to get involved in whatever it is that they found out that makes people like to go to their church. Now sometimes it's a matter of, somehow it's just like to raise our hands, praise God, hallelujah, and speak in other tongues and so forth. And other people think those are of Satan. So we have divisions amongst ourselves. There are people that say they're Christian. And they're old. They accepted Christ way long time ago. And yet, many of you will point a finger at them and say, you can't be a Christian. Now, you tell me, how do you make this decision? You make this decision based on what's inside your head. What your lifetime of hearing what's in the world and reading and being taught, you think that these situations make somebody impossible to be a Christian. And yet, the people you're saying is impossible to be a Christian are saying they're a Christian. You have the dilemma. Because what you need to do, because you know, we're not all called to be teachers. We're called to be ministers. Ministers are not necessarily teachers. Teachers are somebody that's educated in the subject they're teaching. You want to be a math teacher at a college or university, you better know something about math. You got to be good enough that you can make some of your students turn into maybe Einsteins if that were possible. You have to be able to do quite a bit as a teacher. But if you're a teacher, you also know that in your study and research to give you this expertise, you find a world of facts out there that generally people don't see. You cannot base things based in your experience. There's too much. We got a good example of what too much is. You type the word, even if it's in relatively complex, and you could get millions of sites call it showing up in your browser. You can read the number of sites. You know, whenever you type in something to do a search, just always look up there how many pages they found. You're going to know all those? Are you going to be able to sit down and read through all of that? And then are you going to be able to divide what's wrong and what's right out of it? And do the homework and research on each and every page to see how they got their information, to see how you're going to decide? You know, there's too much information. If a person says they're Christian, that's one person. You can ask a lot of questions. You can ask, how did you accept Christ? What were the perimeters around the reasons that, or how you came to Christ? What happened after you accepted Christ? Was there changes in your life? They can tell you this, that, and the other thing because they have a personal relationship with Jesus. They can tell you these things. Everybody is a witness. And a witness is not a teacher. You could be a witness and explain to another what happened in your life. Now, sometimes some of you might say, I was gay and now I'm straight. But the thing is, if you're going to say that, what are you saying? Because who are you telling it to? Got some brains. Got some know-how. Been around the block. So when you're explaining something, I got delivered. Well, you'd better have a pretty good grasp on your deliverance so that you can explain it. You know, explanation is pretty important. I got delivered. Okay, let me ask you some questions about that. Blah, blah, blah. No. Blah, blah, blah. No. Blah, blah, blah. No. How did you get delivered? And look at this. You're doing this, that, and the other thing. How did you get delivered? Now, somebody's smoking cigarettes, chain smoking 3 packs a day, and they got delivered. 20 years later, they said they haven't even had one cigarette. Well, that's a pretty good witness. And they could pretty much vouch for it. Sometimes it just comes to believe in them. But Christian, if a person says they're gay, and you say they can't be in heaven, then they say, well, they've been around the block once or twice. Then you have to say, okay, what did you see when you went around the block? Well, I saw all manner of Christians coming to me. And all manner of Christians are telling me they see God in me. They see Jesus in me. There's hundreds and hundreds of pastors that says, you come up here to the altar. God wants me to say specifically to you in the plaid flannel shirt, come up here, you know. And then so you come up there, and then there you are. And then they go on their thing, you know. Pentecostals, do you know anything about Pentecostals? One of the things that happens, they go on their thing. They can get prophecy, word of knowledge, and you hear tongues, and then you hear the interpretation of tongues, and so forth and so on. One of the gifts is that of prophecy. And they begin to prophesy. Hundreds of times, you're out of the blue, you go down to this little camp meeting here, hundreds of people all around. I want you. Come up here. You're with that. And he names the race he thinks that person, because my lover was American Indian. He said, you, the American Indian, come up here. And God has this for you, and blah, blah. He goes on right into his thing, goes into his thing of Pentecostalism. Now, you can't undo that. If a Christian goes, God, heal me. You got severe food poisoning or something like that, and you're about to... It's really complex in the situation I'm giving an example of. And you can literally watch the Holy Spirit come from the north, get directly east, pour down. You know that little colored sand thing you have? You turn it this way, and depending on what color it is, it's going to pour down. I can see it pouring down. As soon as it got to my level, healed. But not just simply healed, a dramatic, unbelievable feeling throughout the whole body. And if you get several of these kind of physical healings, you know, and you can tell other people about it. See, I had it. Other people have the healing. They can tell you. It's up to you to believe or not. You going to call them a liar? And you do, because you can't accept if a gay person or anybody that you think is sin or living in sin, you can't accept that they are walking as decent as anyone is in Christ Jesus. They're really not much different than you. Same thing. They go to work. They have all the various blessings that they can tell you about. They have financial difficulties, the help that Jesus gives them. They have household difficulties, broken cars, broken houses, and the miracles and the helps and the answered prayers and so forth. They have family issues around the miracles, the job issues, miracles and answered prayer and all that. When you come to head-to-head blows with the one you love and everything, he's right there to help you out that, mend it, whatever. If you end up with a divorce or something, he's there helping you work that kind of situation out. Doesn't matter if other people are condemning you like crazy. You know for a fact that there Jesus is helping you work it out. You're not going to have a lot of peace and a lot of comfort and a lot of wonderfulness through every single situation in life. I bet you anybody I talk to up here has gone through extremely hard times. At least for you. Other people say, hey, I got a million answers to all your things. And some of them might be right, and some of them might be just because you think you don't have that problem, and you think that the other person can't have that problem, that you have the answer or something. You're not a psychiatrist. You're a witness. And you might have seen enough things in other people's life to be able to teach a little bit. But if you want to be a teacher, then you got to know something of your topic. If you want to say that gay is sin, you got to know something about gays. There's 630 million gays today. And there was lots of them in Jesus' day. The 10% thing, no matter what you want to say about 10%, if you do your homework and your research and look at the facts around, this world is 6.3 billion, some strong or more, 6.6 billion people, and you think you've got all the facts? There are facts around. Evolutionists think they got the facts. They say, oh, creation scientists don't know what they're talking about. Well, if you go to some of the today's Christian scientists, Christian scientists, that's kind of, I mean, scientists that are Christian, and they are talking about how creation happened, you'd be amazed at some of the things that you had. How did we get this phenomena we call billions of years? And it's supposed to be only 6,000. You know? Well, there's some pretty fantastic information that's available in science. So one scientist may say, well, it can't happen that way. Another scientist says, hey, but do you know, I got this, that, and that. And I definitely know what I'm talking about. Scientists, it's an evolving thing. One time, scientists thought the world was flat. They don't anymore. Why? Because they found out it wasn't flat. We're going to find out a lot of things. And some scientists find it out early. Usually, we call the scientists that are finding out earlier, we want to ban them from the church. We want to hang them to the yardarm and so forth, burn them at the stake, flock them, make them lose all credibility. This is how we treat people that are on the forefront of the discovery of new things that doesn't want to fit what we want. Jesus started his ministry. We got some history of how he picked a few people out. But this didn't get anybody to know him. They didn't care the least. Peter, come with me. John, come with me. So forth. He's just calling his over. Lots of people around. No clue what's going on. Finally, be healed. Ah, everybody starts noticing that. They come out of the woodwork. They come from under the bushes. Thousands of them go around him. So he's in there healing. They break down the roof, so lower down to get healed. possible. We said we can heal. There's specific gifts for healing. Some people have the gifts of healing, so they can simply go up on a stage in the autumn with a bunch of people there to come up here, heal, 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 heal. We got this phenomenon called slayed in the spirit. Slayed in the spirit doesn't mean you get healed. Slayed in the spirit means a bizarre thing happened that's just really difficult to explain. Because no matter how much you think, you can go through all your 9 yards of thinking fraud and all this other kind of stuff, but you see enough, you start seeing things. You see things happening that it's impossible. It's impossible that anything other than something is happening when somebody lays on hands and they fall back. Then you get the healing. Likewise, you see some types of healings that it's only the word of the person. How do you know they're sick? Then you don't see nothing more than they maybe lay down and then they come like, oh, I'm healed, you know. Unless you know something more about the person, you don't know that they're healed or anything. Now, if you got healed and it was dramatic, I mean, you felt the warm oil, literally warm and flowing. It's like there's a board put across you and flowing down. You could feel the oil. It's like oil. And it's flowing down like on a plane, right down. Just like that. Just like that. And as it's going down, you're healed. Now sometimes when you're getting healed, you get all the stuff that made you sick out. Now your body sort of has to recover. The healing sometimes doesn't include instant recovery. In other words, hey, now you got all the bad stuff out, now your body can do its thing, heal. You know, you cut yourself, you don't have to say, in Jesus' name be healed, and look at it disappear before your eyes. No, it takes a week or something and get scab, pick the scab off, a little red after a while, and then disappears. Your body can take care of that. Lots of healings, your body would take care of the cleanup mess. So, people, healing is real. And ministries partly should have a segment of time devoted to healing. People are sick. People can come up and get healed. If you don't have the gifts of healing, so that it's almost like, hey, you know, if you speak in tongues, anytime you want, you can speak in tongues. If you have the gifts of healing, pretty much anytime you want, you can lay hands on heal people. Often, part of this gift is you've got to get people's faith generated up. So you see all these kind of things that these healing ministers do sometimes to try to get people in the go, so you get a little bit more action, you know. You got us a little faith, we need a little bolstering to get us to believe that it could possibly happen to us. Other times it's just not going to matter, man. It doesn't matter what you are. You could be a car. I command you, car, to be healed. Go for it, man. Who knows? It gets healed. You go over to your dog. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Your dog's healed. What are you going to say? You try to explain it? It just happens. You can get healed. If you have an ailment someplace on your body or anywhere, put your hand on it right now. In Jesus' name, be healed. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible. All others are Satan counterfeit. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See you next week.